what I'd love to speak about, you mentioned relationship between everything. I'd love for us to speak about relationships, as in the physical relationships we have with each other, and especially, you know, romantic relationships. How do we bring consciousness into our relationships, into our marriages, our partnerships, whatever it might be?
I love this question. I love this topic. I truly think that conscious partnership is maybe the most powerful vehicle for spiritual transformation. Because as you know, as anyone who's been in a partnership knows, that level of intimacy you cultivate with someone will scoop down to the very bottom of the barrel inside of you and pull up anything in you that's selfish, that's A Course in Miracles calls it the special relationship, which is the classic romantic relationship where it's like, you complete me and I was nothing until I found you. It's this denial of self and this disowning of all my good qualities onto somebody else, and then trying to possess that person as my special person. You're the most attractive person and you're mine, which kind of makes me special, right? The ego only turns other people, especially romantic partners, into a kind of idol to be worshipped and possessed. And an idol that gives me all my self-worth, which, hey, when things are going great in a romantic relationship, that seems to feel really great. Of, oh, we're in love and you complete me. But the second something goes wrong, and it will go wrong, now it's incredibly painful. And so painful, in fact, that most people pretty much run away at the first sign of conflict, because you just say, well, you're not my special person. I thought you were the special person, but clearly you're not, because my special person would never talk to me that way or do that to me. And so we go on and on and on through special relationship after special relationship, because there's no actual real love being given there. And so I talked about giving and receiving in relationship as kind of the lens for how oneness behaves. In that balance that's in the universe, there's the inflowing and outgoing energies and everything, right? Everything is vibration. Everything is alive, spiraling through positive, negative, positive, negative. That's what gives life to all form. And so this constant equal exchange of energy in every cell of my body, in the planetary systems, it has to be going on in balance everywhere. So if I'm in a special relationship, there's going to be some true giving, of course, but really most of what people are doing in those romantic relationships is they're taking and keeping, meaning I want to take all of your good qualities for myself. I want to keep you for myself. You know, the classic narcissistic boyfriend, you're not allowed to go out. You can't talk to guys. You can't do this or that, because she's his property in his mind. Right. So he can't let some other guy have his property. So that's not actually loving, is it?
No, absolutely.
So in that lens of the special relationship, the Course provides the alternative, which is called the holy relationship, which I just call loving relationship. And that's where there is a true giving and receiving, where we enter a romantic partnership saying, I'm not here to take anything from you. I'm not here for what I can get from you or how you can make me feel. I'm truly here to love and serve you, because I see the divine in you. I see the beauty of God in you, and I want to love that beauty and serve it. And I have no expectations of what you're going to do for me. And so that's the premise we have to start a romantic relationship with. But where the nuance comes in is that although we never want to have any attachments to a romantic partner, any feelings of possession or control over them, at the same time, a true loving relationship is giving and receiving. So if you're just truly giving love and you're with someone who's still in that specialness state and they just want to take from you and they're not really giving you back that same measure of true love, then you'll know that that person's not a match for you, because you'll feel the unequal energy exchange happening. I always say, like, two bank accounts, right? If you're a bank account and your partner's a bank account, as long as you're always depositing in them and they're always depositing in you, you're both going to be full, and you're going to feel full of the love and the happiness of that relationship, because there's giving and receiving always going on. But if one bank account starts taking withdrawals from the other and doesn't make deposits anymore, then we get burnt out. We fall out of love and all these things, because really there's just an unequal balance of energy exchange. So when I look at conscious partnership through that lens, then it becomes this amazing catalyst for spiritual expansion. Because again, your selfishness, your greed, your specialness, your clinginess will come out towards that person. A romantic partnership is like the shiniest object that ego could ever want to possess, right? And so it's going to bring out all the ego's shit at some point. And that is the blessing and the service that conscious partnership provides us. Because if you say, I'm devoted to you as my partner and my mirror, just like I'm devoted to God, it's called bhakti, as you might know in Hinduism. It's the devotional yoga, where I'm not going to run away the second a conflict arises. I'm going to take radical responsibility for what I contributed to that conflict and heal that in myself, because only you can bring out the things in me that are the most secretive and the most hidden, right? My mom or dad can't bring those things out. Not even my best friend will probably bring those things out of me as much as a romantic partnership will. So I could go on and on, as you see, about this topic, but for me, it has been just like A Course in Miracles. Conscious partnership is right up there with one of the most transformative devices I've taken advantage of.
I agree. That's why I raised it. I think it's such an important thing for us to be speaking about in romantic relationships, in kind of all our relationships, I guess. How, because obviously there's so much stuff within religion and sex. How does sex play into this with relationships? With, I mean, can we talk about Kundalini awakenings?
Certainly.
You go.
I'm off. Here I go. This is my favorite topic.
I know. I can't wait to hear you talk about all this, because I've heard you speaking about it before. And yeah, let's go into the Kundalini stuff, because this is spicy.
It is. And this is one of the really great teachings in the Law of One that I appreciate the most. Is the Law of One actually talks a lot about this idea of sexual energy exchange. And the way that works out through the chakras, the seven energy centers. And so we can see through the energy centers, if you have a basic understanding of the energy centers, how that specialness versus loving relationship really plays out, is that we don't even have the ability to be in a truly loving relationship until the heart chakra has been activated. And that's the fourth chakra, which is the green ray energy center. Our green ray energy is the energy of love, the awareness of oneness. And that is, the Law of One calls it densities, the seven densities of consciousness. Every chakra of the seven in our body represents one of the seven densities of consciousness. And so we're kind of like this microcosm of the macrocosm, in that the universe has these seven densities of consciousness. It's like a progression of the way that consciousness evolves. So first density is the five elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space, or ether. Consciousness has to spend billions and billions of years in the first density, just learning what it's like to exist in the universe as a individual entity of some kind. And then eventually consciousness will evolve into the second density, which is represented by the second chakra, the orange ray, sacral chakra. And that's the density of growth and movement and interaction. So, you know, mineral life, vegetable life, animal life, that whole spectrum is the second density of consciousness, where now consciousness is existing in an organism of some kind that has to be in relationship to its environment and to other organisms. And so although there's no real personal ego developed yet in those three kingdoms, there is a kind of awareness happening, right? Of individuality. But then we get to the third density, the third chakra, solar plexus, and that's when self-awareness is evolved, when consciousness is now vibrating fast enough that it can start to realize, hey, who am I? I am an individual self, and therefore I can now contemplate my past and my future and my personal desires. And the basic difference we see between a human being and an animal You could describe that as third density consciousness. An animal doesn't really have the ability to stress over the future or feel guilt about their past because there's no real personal identity in the mind yet that can think about those things. So, third density is where we're at now in human consciousness. And the Law of One says that in 2012, our planet finally shifted or became magnetized, let's say, to the fourth density of consciousness, which is the heart chakra, the green ray. And that is when consciousness is now vibrating fast enough that it can become aware of that underlying fabric of oneness. And that's what we call love. And so when we get into the conversation of sexual energy exchange, Ra, who's the entity that channels the Law of One, Ra talks about most sexual interactions on our planet are purely red, orange, or yellow ray, meaning they're all about me, right? What I can get, my pleasure. I'm going to possess you. I'm going to make you my pleasure device so I can feel good. And there's that endless craving, that endless lust and need to have that lust satisfied. And so that only finds completion when we activate the heart chakra and we can finally exchange green ray energy with another being. And so the green ray energy exchange is really beautiful when you look at it through the lens of sexual interaction, because now you're coming into the sex act, not looking to get fulfilled and use the other person for your own pleasure, but you're saying, again, how can I give you pleasure? How can I make love to you such that I don't even care about the pleasure I get out of this? That's not my first concern. Obviously, you're going to have pleasure if you're having sex, right? But it's no longer your number one motive. Your true motive is, man, I love this being so much, and I want to be intimate with them and give them my love and let them feel my love. And if you have that intention during sex with your partner, the Law of One says you are exchanging green ray energy. And that's actually a very polarizing act for consciousness to exchange loving energy like that in sex. And it has the ability to expand consciousness greatly. So this is where Tantra comes in, and Tantra has really studied this for thousands of years of how to ascend in consciousness through sex and sexuality, because it is a very polarizing act when it's done through the heart. But again, most people are not using their heart in sexual exchange. It's just those lower three chakras of the sort of the ego chakras of possession and control and self-pleasuring. And so you're actually polarizing more to the negative when you use sex like that. So just like with anything, right? There's very different consequences to anything based on the way that you approach or use that thing. And sex, probably the foremost of all.
Yeah, I mean, my husband and I have been on a journey with Tantra for a while now and really gone deep into, well, as deep as we have up until now with some of these teachings. And you do find that it does connect you to consciousness on a deeper level. You do arrive then in a place of what we call conscious union, sacred union, which enables you to respect and honor that person more and have that received back. And then that enables you to bring more light to the world, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, in a sense, we could almost say sexuality is everything. But what do we mean when we say that? We don't mean that personal lust. We mean that your sexuality is kind of like the way you express your being, in a sense. It's the primal aspect of what you are as a human. And so we live in the 3D plane, everything is primal, everything is physical and tangible. And so it's like if I'm at a level of consciousness where I'm using sex not for self-pleasuring only, but to actually be of service to someone else and to make love, to give love, then you better believe that's going to show up in every lesser device in my life, because sex is kind of for the mind, it's like the most desired thing that there is. And so that's why it's really hard to overcome your sexual lusts and distortions, because the amplitude behind sexuality is really strong for the ego. There's so much identity wrapped up in our sexuality, as we see in our world today on full display, People are fully identified with their either their gender or their sexuality, such that it's basically the only thing they think about themselves is what's my sexuality, what's my gender. And that's actually just the most foundational level of what you are. And everything else from there builds upon that. So if your foundation is off, everything else will be off. So, like, if you've done the inner work to the point where you have gotten beyond your personal lusts and things with sex, and you can truly give love to somebody in the sex act, you better believe that's going to show up in the way you talk to the grocery store person and the police officer who pulls you over, the stranger you walk past. Like, that sacred sexuality that you're finally able to express will permeate through every other relationship you have, because as we say, right, the way you are with one thing is the way you are with everything. Hey everyone, thank you for watching today's video. I hope that you were truly blessed by it. And I wanted to let you know that I'm really excited to now be partnering with an amazing conscious supplement company called Organifi. A lot of you know that I'm also passionate about holistic health and nutrition, and Organifi has been a staple in my daily health routine for a very long time. They make the most delicious, organic, and high-quality superfood products that I've ever come across. And as you know, a healthy body is a great benefit for spiritual growth, because the health of your body directly translates to the health of your mind. Everything is connected. So feeding your body with high vibrational superfoods straight from the earth is one of the best ways to create that environment for a healthy mind. But getting all the superfoods that your body needs in one day can admittedly be a little bit tough. And that is where Organifi can add a ton of value to your life. I personally start every day off with green, which is Organifi's really delicious blend of 11 superfoods like ashwagandha, chlorella, and moringa. And then in the middle of the day, I'll usually have a scoop of red, which is a delicious energy blend full of 13 adaptogens and antioxidants from berries to recharge your mind and body with a delicious blend of organic superfoods. Your body is an amazing organic machine, but it needs the right fuel and signals to function at its best. And red is full of adaptogens sourced from organic herbs and medicinal mushrooms. And these are compounds that balance hormones, prime your energy pathways, and alleviate stress. So instead of crushing your adrenal system with huge doses of caffeine every day, adaptogens work with your body and give you natural, sustained energy all throughout the day. What's most important to me though about Organifi is the way that they go above and beyond to ensure the cleanest and purest ingredients in all of their products. They are USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, certified glyphosate-free, and absolutely zero fillers. So I never go anywhere without Organifi, and I never miss a day without taking it. And Organifi is offering a super generous discount of 20% off of your entire order when you use the coupon code ABKEY at checkout. So if you want to upgrade your health regimen with Organifi, you can click on the link in the description box below to learn more about all the amazing products that they offer. And I promise you that your mind and your body are going to thank you for it.